Hello, it's Kathy Love here. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. It's my pleasure to share up more private practice stories and wisdom in this, our third season. My guests are generous, creative, and honest. It has been such a joy to be able to hold these conversations and capture these moments for your listening pleasure. We're sure that you'll really enjoy these unplugged chats and these private practice heart-to-hearts. So settle in, let's get the conversation started. Welcome, Joel. Joel Friedlander is the founding CEO of Clinico, and Clinico is a word that many listeners will be very familiar with, and they will be very interested to hear you and meet you, Joel. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. So where did Clinico start?
It was about 6.5, 7 years ago that I started working on it, and it began my background software development. But my partner is an osteopath, and she'd been asking me for many years to write some software in her space. She wasn't happy with the one she was working with and thought that it would be pretty simple, just make something that does appointments and treatment notes, and off we go. And I would spend a few months doing it and I'd be done. So eventually I quit my job and started working on what became Clinico full-time, and quickly realized that that estimate of just notes and appointments and a few months was grossly underestimated. It's now been almost 7 years, and we've got a team of 25 that are working on it, and we're nowhere near done. There's so much to do. But so the need came from there, and it really came from my partner, just knowing that she needed something better to work with.
Yeah. I guess the more you do, the more complex it gets and the more problems you've got to solve on our behalf as clinicians. Has that been the experience?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the thing that I kind of came to realize and never considered it much at the start, and probably mostly because I'm terrible at planning, so I really didn't think far ahead, but it was that people that use practice management software, it's usually the only tool they're using in their clinic. So if they want to be able to do something on their computer for their practice, they need their practice management software to do it. It's rare that people are using a number of systems to achieve what they want. So once they've got this system in place, they want to do everything they need. And that's where I think that, there's a lot more functionality that we now do and things that we want to do that I just never considered at the start, because I really early on didn't think past the basics of appointments, treatment notes, and it became apparent pretty soon that we should do something with receipts and invoicing as well. But other than that, I hadn't thought about all the extra things that come in, like appointment reminders or sending letters to doctors or tracking referrals or the many, many other things that people like to do in their business as well.
Yeah, we all dream of a one-stop shop and a product that does absolutely everything. And I guess there's quite a few agencies working towards that. And I guess also as business owners, we always don't know what we don't know, and we don't know what we don't need yet. So we're also pretty dependent on you to be using your geeky genius to be building those facilities and training us up for how to use them.
That's always a really interesting thing for us in prioritizing what to work on, because we have a lot of requests come through from our customers as to what they would like. But we've also got many things that we think would be great to put in there and we want to do that aren't necessarily asked for. And it's finding a balance between satisfying the two and working out how we can prioritize those. That's one of the trickiest things.
Mm. So where's Clinico at? At the moment, we haven't spoken for months, so I'm looking forward to a bit of a catch up. I know you've had some changes in your customer service support. That's been great. What else have you been up to?
So the biggest thing we've been working on recently, and by recently it's almost sort of 2 years in the development, was getting Clinico working great on all devices. So the phrase we use for it is responsive, where the application now will respond to whatever device you're using, whether mobile, tablet, doesn't matter what browser, anything like that, that it kind of works perfectly still on them. And the best example would be if you use Clinico on your phone now, that it's not like a zoomed out version like some websites can be on your phone. It's all full size, so you don't have to strain your eyes to read it. There's a little sliding menu for navigation. It's designed to be used with your finger touching on the screen, and it just works great on your phone or your tablet or desktop. And that's through the entirety of Clinico, which there's a lot of pages. So like I said, we quite literally spent almost 2 years on that change that went live about a month ago or just over. That was a lot of work. And as always, there's like a bunch of things on the go. We've got about 12 developers working on Clinico, all on different parts. So there's quite a bit happening now too.
And how's the feedback been about that responsivity to different screens?
Good and bad. So I think that generally we get a lot of feedback when things aren't right. So, yeah. It's not so often that people, we do get some, but it's not as often that people are just like, hey, that's a great improvement, thanks. But more often, like, something's changed that I don't like, or if there's something not working, we certainly hear about that faster. So even though when I talk to people, people love it and it's a big improvement, typically when we actually get feedback come through to us, I'd say it's pretty balanced with positive and negative, but also justifiably so with some of it. This was one of the hardest changes we've had to make. So when we first launched it, there were certain browsers and devices where there was things going wrong. And we fixed that up really quickly, but it wasn't all perfect on the day we launched it. So it was an iterative process. And I think now, a few weeks on, with maybe 100 iterations we've done since then, quite literally, it's working really well for people.
Good, 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 good. Keep us happy. It's just best that we're all happy, Joel.
I agree.
Your life will be so much easier. What else is in the box for Clinico at the moment? What else is it doing really well?
I think some of the things that it's doing best at the moment is probably not the features and things people necessarily look for. So you mentioned our support. We recently turned on in-app chat so that people, if they want to ask us a question, there's a button within Clinico that you can click and you just type a message and our support team will get it and get back to you and just talk to you whilst you're in Clinico, so you don't have to go anywhere else. I think that's been a really good addition to the way we can support people. And we have our support team available pretty much 24 hours a day, 5 days a week, and a bit on weekends as well. So we're very responsive when someone needs us now. I think in general, one of the things that we probably don't talk about so much, but like Clinico is just always around. It's always there and reliable. We haven't had outages for a very long time. So, when people want it, it's there. I think we've had like maybe 30 minutes in the last year or something like that where we've been down. And a lot of that's been scheduled maintenance too. So just I think the little things that we kind of work hard on behind the scenes that seem to be going really well at this stage. I feel like we're a mature product now and a lot of those things are working like they should.
Yeah. Sometimes I hear that people are a bit worried about the privacy and security of going to a online system. And I always assure them in incredibly simplistic terms that, all of these programs sitting up on Australian clouds and completely compliant on the money with that one.
I wouldn't say necessarily all of them, but most are. It really just depends on the thing. It's kind of like being in the cloud or being installed locally doesn't make it secure or insecure. You can have both in both places. You can have it installed on your computer and it can be horribly insecure. And in fact, when it's installed on your computer, unfortunately say that's more likely the case because it's very hard to secure your computer and it's not your expertise generally as a practitioner. But in the cloud, the same. It can be super secure. Like, the banks have been doing internet banking for a long time and we don't hear of people getting their funds stolen or anything like that. It can be secured. But also it depends on the developer and the software. You can put very insecure software up in the cloud as well. So I think it just depends. And it's a matter of, if you're looking at a cloud provider for software like this, security is obviously very important. And you'd want to have a look at what they say about their security and have a chat to them and have some confidence that they're doing the right things. Because, like I said, the cloud or not isn't really the key thing. It's what they're doing with their software.
Yeah. And you spoke about security, cybersecurity at the PEDS Biz conference in June, at which point I confessed variable levels of cybersecurity going on in my business world. But as I was saying before I hit the recording, I have changed all of that and moved to some other cloud-based applications and changed my backup regime and also installed or nearly finished installing LastPass. And that's something that you're super keen on and super knowledgeable about. So in terms of cybersecurity, what's a good handful of things that private practitioners should be putting into place the moment they pull their earplugs out of their ears after listening?
Sure. So a secure password is number one, because as we get more and more things stored digitally, your password is what's protecting it from unauthorized access. So that's a password to your computer, hopefully, that you have turned on. A password on your phone, that can be just, the PIN code, four numbers, six numbers, whatever it might be. But firstly, making sure things are protected by a password and then making sure your password is secure. And typically, the best way to have a secure password is for your password to be quite long and also for it to be different for each service you use. Now, that's where it gets pretty tricky, and I recommend systems like LastPass or 1Password or a couple of the more popular password managers. They pretty much take care of it all for you and make having a really secure and different password for each service simple, whereas otherwise it would be quite an onerous task. So I would say as soon as they finish listening to this, if they have a look at LastPass or 1Password and use that for their passwords, that'll be a huge improvement in security. I would also say you want to turn on encryption on your computer. So with Windows, that's BitLocker, and with Mac, that's FileVault. It's just a setting to turn on. And once you've done it, your computer will be encrypted, which protects it in case of theft. And probably those two things are the most important to do to improve security. And I always think of security a bit like a thief walking down the street wanting to break into cars and just trying to handle on various cars until one's unlocked. And that's the one they break into because it's easy to access. And I just think with your digital security, don't be that unlocked car. Have a good password, have your computer encrypted, and probably you won't be the target, which is your best defense.
Yeah, absolutely. That piece about prevention and playing a safe sort of game. You mentioned earlier about your team of developers, and I happen to know that your team is global. You have got, was it 25, 20-something in your team all over the world? And I'm wondering if you're happy to chat a little bit about how you organise that team, or how, in fact, they organise you and how you communicate, because there's some parallels there with some private practices who are running multi-sites, big teams, and there's always that challenge of focus and task and time and communication. How do you guys make all that work?
Sure. So like you said, we are a team of 25 and we're spread out. I think we're in like 10 countries, something like that, our team. And everyone does work full-time on Clinico. It's just a case that when we've gone to hire, we just want to hire the best person available. And fortunately, you know, our people aren't like manual practitioners, manual therapists where they need to be on site. So we have the luxury of being able to hire from anywhere, which, you know, gives a bigger pool of people to choose from. And the theory is we get to find better people. As far as making that work, so we use a chat room for most of our communication. We use a tool called Slack, and it's just basically a number of channels and chat rooms where we can talk. I quite like talking asynchronously rather than having sort of video meetings or phone call meetings all the time. I feel like it's less interrupting. So if I want to ask someone a question and I send them a message, they can check it when it suits them rather than me going and tapping them on the shoulder or calling them and interrupting whatever they're working on, which can sometimes take you quite a while to get back to where you were. So I think for us, there's a real productivity gain from talking in text most of the time. Of course, we still do some video or phone chats where it makes the most sense, but easily the majority of our communication is in text. And it also has the benefit that when everyone's not around at the same time, they don't miss out on what is said because they can go back and read up and see what was discussed. So it's kind of like you had a meeting where there's notes, but you didn't, you know, have to have a meeting, which is always a plus. And we still have everything transcribed and searchable in these chat rooms. And the only other thing I'd say about like sort of what people are working on is that we never give anyone tasks. We don't have any management in our company, so there's no hierarchy at all. And it's really a case of inspiring everyone in the team towards the goal. And they're smart people, they're proactive people, and they will just choose things to work on that need to get done for our customers, for our company. And they manage that themselves.
It's just such a different model to so many of the other businesses that I work with. And I love Slack. I run my team with Slack. In fact, just even as we've been talking in the last few minutes, I can see my little Slack icon and there's a couple of red numbers coming up there. And it's quick and it's easy and it's versatile. One other thing. So when you say that there's no management and everyone has a sense of what's down the track and what they're working towards, we started on a conversation months ago about personal Kanban. And since we've caught up, I've spent a couple of days with Jim Benson when he was here in Australia, jumping a bit deeper into personal Kanban. Is that a structure that Clinico uses?
We don't really have a structure at all. So we like I personally really hate process unless it's needed, or even documentation unless it's needed, because I feel like you develop a process or a document and it's never perfect. And then you kind of feel beholden to follow it or read it or use it because you made it, even if it's not fitting exactly what's needed. So I kind of like to wait and only bring something in when we really feel a need to do so. And like at our company size, even at 25 people, there's very little we've brought in as process. Pretty much the only thing we do for like development or even support things is there's some peer review that goes on, so that if you want to ship a change as a developer, you know, push a change out to our customers, you need to get another developer to review it and approve it before it can go out. So you just get someone else to check on it. And that's almost the extent of process we have in our company, because there hasn't been a need that drives anything else. But there's still a lot of similarities to the way Kanban works, because the key principle of Kanban is pulling work instead of having to push to you. So you actually, you know, having a pool of things that need to be done, and you go and grab one of them and work on it, as opposed to a manager saying, here's what you're going to work on now. It's one of the key concepts. And I'd say we work in a similar vein to that, because no one's, you know, going to people and saying, this is what you need to do. There is a bunch of stuff that needs to get done. People are aware of what that is, and they'll grab the things that they're interested in. And I think that there's like even a huge productivity boost in that. If you're working on something that you chose and you want to do, you actually work on it, get it done, and do a good job. If you're working on something that someone gave to you and you hate it and have no interest, you'll find so many other things to do instead of that, and you'll procrastinate and who knows what while, you know, and not with any bad intent. It's just hard to work on something you don't care for. So I think that there's real advantages to having people just pick what they work on. And even if, let's say, it's not the highest priority item we have to do, still better to actually get it done fast and do a good job of it than work on our top priority and delay and procrastinate and not really get anywhere.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I'm going to enjoy thinking about that. That'll keep me entertained and tossing around for a little while. That's cool. So Clinico is on the grow. It's just changing and evolving all the time. You're looking at having a facility for payments.
Yep.
To private health and Medicare. I hope I'm not out of turn mentioning that. I've heard you say it in public, but no, what's happening with that bit?
There's very little we have that would be secretive. So with that, we're actually, timing is good. We're going into beta with some clinics on basically high caps integration and health fund payments today. So I think later this afternoon will be the first clinic that will start using it. And the way that works, it's a really neat new system that high caps is bringing out, where patients won't need to have the healthcare card on them and you won't even need a terminal in your clinic for it. Basically, the patient has an app on their phone, and when you go to process the payment in Clinico, Clinico will know that that patient has the app, and instead of showing the normal payment screen, it'll pop up and say process with High Caps Mobile. You'll say okay, and it will send across to the patient's phone the details, so how much the contribution is and what the credit card gap payment is. The app will already have their credit card details, so all they need to do is accept that. The payment will go through, the contribution will be made from the health fund, and Clinico will update and record all the details of that. So it's really fast and really easy for patients as well.
That is incredible. And that, I was at the physio on, I don't know, I'm falling apart at the moment. I was at the physio on Monday night and I didn't have my card. And of course I couldn't claim. And I said, so when on earth is all of this going to be cloud-based so that I just wave my phone around and credit card gets paid and the gap gets put somewhere as well? And oh, there was just a bit of eye rolling going on. And I said, I shouldn't have to carry all these cards around. So it sounds as though there is progress on that front.
That's it. The answer is this afternoon.
I hate carrying cards other than
I completely agree. Like, I don't carry my Medicare card. I've got my number saved in my phone. I just dislike as well to carry everything around. But that's really exciting, and will be coming out, like I said, in beta to some clinics as of today, and then it's going to start getting rolled out more and more over the coming weeks, and I think there'll be some big announcements from High Caps maybe later this month about it.
Woohoo, that's a game changer. That's just good for everybody, that one. That's great.
Yep. And while you mentioned things that are coming up, there is one other one that I'm so excited for, which is predicting patients not turning up to their appointments. And this is in that category where people aren't asking us for it, but maybe because they don't know that we're going to be able to achieve it. And we brought on a data scientist to our team early this year, with this being one of the biggest focuses. And that was with the amount of information and data we have, how can we predict if a patient's going to turn up to their appointment or not, and give you some warnings so you can contact them and either reschedule or whatever might need to be done. And after some months of work and looking at many, many factors that contribute to a patient turning up or not, we're at the point now where we can predict 60% of no-shows in advance, and we can predict them weeks in advance. And at the time when we make a prediction and say this person probably won't turn up, we're 90% accurate. So 9 out of 10 times, if we say this person won't turn up, they don't. And we're picking up, like I said, 60% of all no-shows with this. So that's kind of where we've got our prediction to. And now we're working on implementing that into Clinico. So there'll basically be a marker to start with on the appointments. There'll be a little red sign or an icon that says this person probably won't turn up. And days before the appointment, you can call them. Chances are they'll say, yeah, I need to reschedule. You'll be able to book someone else in and get rid of a lot of gaps out of your schedule.
Wow. I so want to know how you figured that out, but I also so know I'm not going to understand the answer. So
It's not so complicated. It's just a matter of a lot of factors that contribute. Factors that affect it are like what day of the week the appointment's on, what time of the day the appointment is. Gender does play a part. Yeah. Age plays a part in it. Surprisingly, whether they have an SMS reminder or not does not play a part, which was an interesting one for us. Other things like the distance they live to their clinics, where we're mapping the geolocation of the clinic versus where the patient lives and seeing how far it is for them to travel. So there's a whole bunch of factors like this, a lot more that I can't even think of.
The weather?
I don't think we're pulling weather yet, although it is one that we're looking at doing to improve the accuracy some more. But so there's a lot of this kind of stuff that just gets pulled in and put through a formula, basically, that can do this prediction. And we've got it set up with, to use a more technical term, machine learning. But what it basically means is that our algorithm that predicts this will improve over time. So as it runs for longer, as we get more information and we do these predictions, our number of no-shows we pick up will improve and the accuracy will improve as well.
Okay. Gosh. Huh. I have to hold that in mind as I'm thinking about ever cancelling an appointment in the future. I'll be getting that red rating before I know it.
The disturbing part is we can actually make the prediction at the time you create the appointment. But at this stage, we've chosen not to do it then because it'd be kind of strange if you're booking an appointment and they just say no. We're not going to let that appointment.
You don't want to be too smart.
Exactly. I think we'll show it like a week or so before the appointment at this point. But it's really interesting. And there's a bunch of other predictive type of things we can do with businesses in future once we get this one out the door. You know, things about predicting revenue, predicting when you might need to hire people, you know, predicting even reschedules or other things. There's a lot can be done on that front.
I would love to talk quickly about the management dashboard in Clinico. And I'm, you know, obviously not up for any sort of journalistic awards with this podcast. And I am not up to speed with what those management dashboards look like. But where are they now? And where do you think they might be in a year or two's time? Just thinking of that private practitioner who is an awesome clinician, but is, you know, perhaps still got their green peas on as a manager. How are you going to be helping them out?
So at the moment, we do have a fair bit of reporting, but it's more practical reporting than really, like, I would say we're not doing a good enough job yet to help people grow their business as far as our reporting goes. So we'll show you daily transactions, we'll show you revenue over time, and we do have some practitioner performance reports that can show some interesting indicators that maybe something's not good if it wasn't. So there is a bit there already, but I would say that we've kind of been reactive on reports so far and putting a lot of reports in that people are asking for, and this is one of those areas as well where we're pretty excited to take a step back and think what reports should we be getting in there that are going to help these, you know, solo practitioners, new practitioners improve their business that maybe we're not getting asked for. And there's some ideas we have around that already and certainly some changes that we want to make there. But also, actually, there's an interesting app that got released recently that integrates with Clinico. They're called Clinic Apps. It's Clinic with a Q at the end. And they do some really interesting analytics like patient retention stats and a dashboard for sort of management reporting that adds on to Clinico. And more importantly, they do some automated patient communications. So they can, you know, do communications like emails or push notifications or SMS, you know, to help with retention, help with promotions for recalls, a whole bunch of things. And they've got some pretty good templates in there as well. And I know they're going to release some more. So I've been really excited to see that come out because it's an area that we don't have in Clinico. It's built to add on to Clinico. So it connects with your Clinico account and it works seamlessly with it. And personally, I just think it's a really great tool. It adds a lot of value. So it's kind of nice to see other systems coming up that will, you know, add on functionality and make Clinico more powerful as well that aren't necessarily things we've built. And we, you know, we have an API in the background that lets other developers integrate with Clinico. Now, of course, it requires your permission to give access to your account to these systems. But I think that that's one really good one that perhaps, you know, newer practitioners might take a look at. I think it's very useful.
Yeah, I've heard some great things about it already just in the last couple of weeks. So it's one that I haven't had a really good look at, but it's on the list. On the list of things I can do. So I heard the words ABI and I instantly think of the elephant in the room that is the NDIS. Is there any joy to be had anytime soon with integration to that great beast?
Referring to payment side of things with it?
Anything really? Yep, payments would be good.
So not at the moment. We did talk to one company that was doing a sort of payment service for it. But like I mentioned, we've been doing a lot of work recently with the HICAPS integration. And I do know that our next payments thing to come will be Medicare DBA based because we don't have that yet in there either. And the same integrator that we're using for the HICAPS one, they're called MediPass, and they're kind of the piece that links the two between HICAPS and Clinico. They're also looking to bring out Medicare DBA in the same system, which would be pretty good for us because we've already done this integration. It won't be so much more to add the next. So I do know that that's our next part coming. And then I guess after that is finished, we'll be looking up at what else is around. And hopefully by that time, there's some more options in the NDIS space to give us some easy integrations to do there.
Yeah, everyone's waiting for that. So no pressure. Yeah.
I think that space will change, and not so much from us being the catalyst here, but like I said, there's already one company, I think it was called Lantern Pay from memory, that's doing that sort of NDIS payments and integrating with other providers, but there'll be more. And I think that, you know, in some months to come, there'll be plenty of options, and, you know, probably we'll have a good look at it again then.
Yeah. Some are sort of saying that it could be worth the wait so that the NDIS is even more mature in its systems and tech, so that it works better from the get-go rather than any backwards or sideways steps.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And like we kind of saw it with My Health Records, where they did a fair bit of evolving to get to the point where they're at now. And, you know, had we integrated back when they started, there would have been a lot to change at this point, you know, when they got rebranded and everything like that. So getting stable is a good thing.
Yeah. Where's Clinico at with My Health Record?
So we're not integrated with it yet, but it's becoming a very high priority for us. So we've got some meetings coming up with like the Australian Digital Health Agency and some others involved in the space. And I expect we'll get working on that pretty soon.
And I can't wait to ask you the question about secure messaging.
Secure messaging is definitely a key one. I chatted to you briefly before. Where I'm at with that is I don't think that it's in a very good place currently. I also plan to have some chats around that with the meetings coming up. I don't know what the outcome will be, but it, you know, at the moment we're not rushing to integrate it because I think it's complicated in the way it sets right now.
Evolving.
Yeah. Hopefully.
If we put on our sort of imaginations for a moment, what do you think practice management software is going to look like in 5 years' time? Are we talking holograms? Are we talking artificial intelligence? What are we talking about? What could it be?
I think definitely the devices we're using are changing fast. You know, quite some time ago, Steve Jobs was talking about the post-PC era, and I think we're really hitting it because right now, if you don't need a computer for work and you're not playing video games, there's no reason to have a computer at home. You know, your phone and maybe even a tablet, it does all that you need. And I think most people now don't even turn on their computer at home because they are using these other devices and the computer only comes on specifically for work. So I think that, like, devices are changing rapidly now. I don't see why any clinic right now, especially if they're using Clinico and now that it's possible, why you would put a computer in every practitioner's room where a tablet or phone will be just fine enough for it and is way cheaper. And I think that's already a significant change to go away. You know, instead of needing to spend $2,000 per room to kit it out with equipment, you could get a fairly cheap Android tablet, for example, for a few hundred dollars, and that would do perfectly fine in each room. I think that's a significant change. And certainly wearables is becoming a lot more interesting. Watches is an example. It's probably not so relevant for the practitioner, but certainly the eyewear is. I had a play with Google Glass some time ago, and it was a pretty poor implementation of a very good idea. And I think particularly for manual therapists, having some sort of data input and also output where they can read it and get information whilst being able to use their hands is really important. You know, even if you just had the idea of being able to see some medical alerts always on in your peripheral vision whilst you're doing a treatment would be fantastic. So I do think that certainly wearables, I think that just the device changes and going to sort of phones and tablets is big. And I think, you know, even though AI is coming, I don't think that's going to be in practitioners' hands or really affecting them in the next few years. But probably big data will be. So some of the stuff that I talk about predicting no-shows is we're getting access to a lot more information. You know, with Clinico, we store about 70 million appointments in our database. And that's why we can develop this no-show prediction because we've got a lot of information to look at. And I think that both, you know, practice management systems getting their own sources and what's becoming available via the internet in different ways, getting access to that data to be able to make predictions or reporting or whatever it might be, I think that's probably going to be a bigger impact in the near future for practice management systems.
Can you explain what big data is? Just sure. Big data 101?
Yeah, so big data in its simplest form is a lot of data, but really a lot. So more than we could typically store in a normal database. So typically, and like the way Clinico works is it has a database, a pretty typical database like most software systems do, and it stores simple data in it. The problem with that is, and we even hit this problem in trying to do the prediction of no-shows, is databases are kind of really well designed to pull out a small bit of information at a time, look up a patient record, produce a report, create an appointment, things like this. But when you want to analyze and work on a significant amount of data, like we want to work on tens of millions of appointment records to find trends and to try and, you know, predict if someone's going to turn up, these databases can't keep up. And so this is where we sort of have what we call big data solutions, which is a way to get all of this information and put it into kind of what we call a data warehouse. But it's a different way of storing data that's super quick to access and can deal with just immense amounts of information. So a perfect example would be Google, where they're storing, you know, millions and trillions of bits of information to be able to, you know, when you go into a search term in Google, it comes back to you in less than a second with a bunch of web results from, like, you know, who knows how many possible sites. Now, they couldn't do that with a normal database or a normal software setup. They have to have, you know, this big data setup where they get all this data, they index it, and they get it all put in special places in a whole, you know, different, it's kind of hard to describe, but a different way of computing than we've done in the past, because we've never had this much data to deal with in the past. You know, pre-internet even, all of our data was stored on individual computers. And now that we've aggregated it all together, we're developing new methods to actually look at it and look at it in a timely way. And that's opening up new opportunities and new things we can do, like predicting, that we could never have done before. So that's kind of the big data space, probably not described so simply.
Gosh, my ears are burning. I'll need some time to process all of that. I sort of had a sense of it, but I guess what we'll be increasingly aware of is how it applies to the floor of the, you know, the typical allied health business.
Absolutely. And a good example, I think, of how it might apply and probably something that's going to get very exciting, and I've been talking to some associations about it, is actually having a look at the data we're storing in treatment notes. So obviously anonymously, but perhaps having a look at the sort of symptoms that people are presenting with, the type of treatments that we're doing and what the outcomes are like for those, because we don't really have that information for a lot of allied health professions. We don't really have good evidence of here's symptoms people come with, here's treatments we're doing, here's the results, what works, what doesn't, and in a real evidence-based way. And this kind of prediction and big data stuff that I'm talking about can certainly be applied there. And it's something that we're starting to look into with Clinico as well, where perhaps we can provide some assistance to associations with some evidence or at least some insight into what's going on with treatments, and possibly and hopefully to our customers as well, where we can provide some information back that might be useful to them.
Do you think you've just made business owners a bit nervous and given them a sense that you can see what they're doing?
Maybe, but they shouldn't be. When we have a look at data like this, it's certainly not linked to a particular business name or a patient or anything like that. That would completely break our terms of service and our privacy policy. We couldn't do it, and we promised to not do it. But aggregating up that sort of information anonymously and looking at it at scale, I just think is beneficial to these professions. I think that particularly allied health in Australia, there's becoming more and more scrutiny on these professions and requirement for them to have evidence basis for what they're doing, and particularly from the health funds as well. And I'm hopeful that we can help them is our plan.
Yeah. I've sort of been waiting for you to use the word benchmarking that I think is a little bit relevant here. I get asked that all the time. Well, how many clients should this practitioner be seeing, and what should my fees be like in X town, and how long most OT sessions? And there's a million questions that they're really, really good questions, because they're business questions and they're service and they're customer service questions. I guess the data sitting in these practice management systems has got the average just sitting there, just waiting to be picked. And many a business owner would sleep better at night to know that they're within that to be expected band on several different parameters.
Yeah, it's one that I like always. I'm not sure on. So we definitely have the data that could do it. I'm not sure it's useful. I'm not sure that knowing what other businesses do is the best way to make decisions for your business. You know, the way we run our company is not like what worked at Google. We should do that, you know, in our business because we're a software company, because Google's a very different business to ours. And I think context matters a lot.
Yep.
And even for practitioners, I know there's a lot of similarities between practitioners, but because someone else's treatment is 30 minutes, does that have any bearing on how long your treatment should be? Like that comes down a lot more to how long does it actually take you to treat someone? That seems like a much better reason to choose that time frame than the industry average. for? How much are you charging for it? What's your treatment worth to the person? How much do you need for your business to be profitable? How do you value your time? Again, I think there's a lot better questions to ask yourself in pricing yourself than what are other people charging. So I'm on the fence on it, and probably we will bring in some benchmarking at some point. I know people would like to see it. I would just like to do it in a way that's beneficial and doesn't have a negative impact. I
think it's prescriptive. And
Exactly, because we often feel like we should do what others are doing, and you know, these people are doing it, they must know what they're doing, and kind of like everyone's just looking at what other people are doing, and it doesn't necessarily mean they all know what they're doing, and there's no reason why, you know, your own initiative and your own innovation can't be a better way for your business. So I'm not sure the value in it.
Ah, interesting. Well, let's just keep that conversation going. I think it's an interesting one, and I guess allied health and in particular disability are a very fast maturing sector, if you like, and it's sort of going from zero to hopefully hero at the rate of knots, and having some sort of guidelines, I think, sometimes, and being able to run a filter over them and think about what's going to work for you can be reassuring in early days as a business owner. So it'd be interesting to see where it ends up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. What sort of secrets can you tell us about Clinico and what you guys are up to in the next little while? Spill the beans.
I'm trying to think what's coming up that we haven't like already announced to people, because we're pretty open book. We're quite, you know, we release to our customers, we let them know what we're working on, and like I said, we don't really keep any secrets. I'm having a quick look at what work's been done at the moment that we might not have talked about. Something that we've probably talked very little about is that we're bringing a lot of formatting options to treatment notes. So at the moment, treatment notes are pretty simple, and you just set up your different fields and you type into them. But bringing in some formatting options, like at a basic level, some bold, some colours, alignment, things like that. But at a more exciting level, being able to insert images and video potentially into your treatment notes, I think that will make a big difference. Some people want it to be able to capture sort of photos of maybe it's a range of motion, for example, of a particular patient that they want to be able to record, put into the treatment note to use for later. Other times, some people just have a need for signatures, and being able to insert an image into a treatment note for a consent or something like that would be a nice workaround for them. So I think it's, you know, in a way a small change, and in a way a really big change to the sort of quality of treatment notes people can record, which I also believe has a big impact on, you know, ability to do successful treatments, and also if another practitioner takes over or something like that. So I think, you know, in one way a small change, in another way a very big change that's coming.
Anything else on your list that you can share?
We don't have any progress on it yet, but we're very keen on some native apps as well. So at the moment, Clinico is a web app and there's no apps in the App Store or anything like that. We don't actually have progress on this front, but we're getting keener and keener to, you know, have still the existing app that people are familiar with, but kind of packaged into a native app, which I think would be a nice thing for people's usability on other devices.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So what would you like to say to anybody who is a little bit nervous about moving away from paper files to something like Clinico? What can you do to sort of draw them to the bright side?
Well, first I would say fair enough. It's a big change, and I can understand nervousness on that front. Anytime, you know, a significant part of your business is going to change, you know, that's going to be scary. I just think that you can do it in a slow way, and you can do it in a pretty easy way by sort of setting up a trial, and whether it's Clinico or another system, set up a trial, have a look around, you know, get a feel for what it is, how it works, whether you like it or whether you don't. And then, you know, for us particularly, they can chat to our support team, they can send them a message within the app or from our website, ask some questions, find out how they do the changeover. And you can do the changeover, you know, sort of staggered. So you might decide you just want to get your appointments in there to start with and use it as a calendar. And then down the track, maybe you want to start doing treatment notes or turn on some reminders or whatever it might be. But I don't think it needs to be a big bang changeover, which is often what makes it scary. It can be more of an iterative approach, and certainly you can just have a play with it and see what you think before you even get to that point. But I think that if you haven't, you know, sort of done a trial of Clinico and some of the others around, you kind of don't know yet what you're saying no to. So you could just have a look.
Yeah. Have a play, get in the sand.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So for the raving fans who have been using your product for years, what tips can you give them to kind of really optimize the package? What is it, what extra value is sitting in there that you feel is a bit underutilized?
keyboard shortcuts. So there's keyboard shortcuts in Clinico that a lot of people don't know about. If you, for example, are on the calendar and you press the question mark on your keyboard, or shift sometimes if you need to get to the question mark, it'll show you a bunch of shortcuts. Like, for example, pressing the number 3 will skip ahead 3 weeks on the calendar. So if you're booking someone in and you wanted to book them in a certain number of weeks, you can just press that number and jump straight to it. You can use your arrow keys to go back and forwards. There's a bunch of other shortcuts there as well. One on the payment page, for example, is if you put in a payment and some of it came through HICAPS and someone's credit card, you might type in $30 HICAPS payment, go to the credit card field and just push R for remaining, and it'll just put the gap payment in for you. So there's some shortcuts throughout the app that a lot of people don't know about and can make it quicker and easier to do what you're doing, which is important for people.
Mm.
And I'd say the other thing that possibly a lot of people aren't using is the waitlist function on the calendar.
Yeah, agreed.
So a lot of people do have a waitlist and they're not necessarily using that feature, and it's really well integrated. You know, the main way you would use that would be if someone wants to book an appointment in and they want something pretty soon, and the soonest you can find is in 6 weeks' time, just book them for in 6 weeks' time, and at the bottom of that say add to waitlist. That'll also add them to the waitlist. And if you end up finding a spot earlier, you'll be able to use that entry from the waitlist, and it'll automatically delete their appointment in future as well. So the workflow just ties in nicely and is pretty useful.
Oh, very cool. I didn't know about any of them. I'm hearing more and more about telehealth, and I'm sure you are as well. Yeah. How is Clinico going to sort of support practitioners who want to deliver telehealth?
So there's quite a few apps turning up now that are actually doing telehealth. I'd have to look up the names of them, but there's some that have integrated with Clinico already, and some of the ones that like do exercise rehabilitation software also might dabble in that. And I think even some of the bigger name companies that do sort of some of the doctor search engines, things like that, like perhaps Health Engine, HealthShare, in that kind of space are as well. So it's unlikely we build it into Clinico anytime in the near future, but there are already apps that integrate with Clinico and do telehealth. So I just say if anyone's keen, the names of them elude me at the moment, but you can always contact us via our support and we can let you know which apps there are that work with Clinico and do that.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it's going to continue to grow. It's just such a powerful way of delivering services to a range of people. And our default is that it's for people who live in rural and remote settings. But in fact, it's a really valuable option for teens and working parents. And, you know, I provide telehealth services and the client's just 3 kilometres away, but we connect in the evening and it really suits him and he logs himself into my calendar and off we go. So I'm hoping that it is part of the equity in the way that we deliver services and that we get over this rural and remote thing sooner rather than later. And
I agree. I think that it's a bad rap with being about rural and remote when there's just so much convenience to it for both the practitioner and the client as well. EasyTrack was the one that I was thinking of that I know did integrate with it and work with Clinico. But yeah, I think it's fantastic. I think if you're not a manual therapist, if you're not doing hands-on work, it's a great option. You know, why have the commute for your clients? Let them just, you know, jump into the call and jump out of it. You can record it. There's a whole bunch of advantages to doing it in that way. And also feel there's a little bit of, like, we talked about sort of appointment timeframes, but there's a little bit of, like, if someone comes out to your clinic and books an appointment and you've got a half an hour, an hour appointment, you're going to kind of use that half an hour, hour appointment whether you need it or not, because they came all the way to see you and you've booked it in your calendar and now that's what we do. Whereas I feel like there's a bit more flexibility with telehealth that you can have a call, you can talk for as long as appropriate and is needed, and you don't need to just keep going for the sake of. Maybe that'll open up some flexibility with scheduling too.
Yeah, exactly. That's been my experience with some of the teenagers, that it might be 20 minutes and we're done. It might be 40 minutes and we're done. And so we're not sort of bound by needing to do more or less, certainly we're bound to do different.
Yeah,
all good. Anything we haven't covered, Joel? Anything anybody else needs to know about? What have I missed?
I think that's pretty good. I think that, you know, certainly we're available. If people have questions, they can reach out. They can reach out via our support. They can reach out to me directly, joel@clinico.com. I'm happy to answer anything if people have questions, but I feel like that's covered pretty well.
Yay. Well done. Thank you. Can I be very cheeky and can I ask about a conference?
Absolutely. Do you mean a conference from us?
Yeah. Weren't you going to do one?
So we're planning to do it in the second half of next year. We haven't put any details out yet. I'm hoping we're talking around August next year. We will certainly promote it everywhere as soon as we have it prepared. We've struggled to actually get going on the organising, but we've just hired someone actually that's going to be getting on board and taking over that for us. So there'll be a lot of progress in the next couple of months on it.
Where's it going to be?
It will be in Melbourne, mostly for convenience for a majority of our team that do, or a decent part of us that live in Melbourne, and doing a conference for the first time is going to be tricky and scary. So we want to make it as simple as possible. And it's going to be focused not as much around Clinico, but more so around growing your business. So providing some real help for people that want to grow their business with a bit of a, you know, lean towards the technology side of things as well, obviously being an area we know about. So I would say it would be technology and business growth will be the focus. There'll be some Clinico stuff, but, you know, we're aiming for it to be very beneficial for people that don't use Clinico as well, and probably have the Clinico stuff in separate streams that, you know, you could not go to if it wasn't the software.
Wow, that is a big commitment. That's great. Oh, good. It's off the drawing board.
Absolutely. No, it's going to happen next year.
You do, well, you know full well what August in Melbourne in August is like, but obviously I get those other factors outweigh. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Prepare the polar fleece. That's all good. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Joel. I know how precious your time is, and I know that you would probably be rather doing other things amongst your beautiful big tall trees, but thank you so much for sharing up where Clinico is at. And yeah, if you want to give a shout out for the website and a quick little shout, I'll leave you with the last bit.
Sure. Well, thanks very much for having me. I appreciate it also. And if anyone's interested in Clinico, they can go to clinico.com and check it out.
Cool. All righty. Have a good one.
Yeah, thank you.
See ya. Thank you for investing your time right through to the end of this episode of Private Practice Secrets. If you're running a private practice and keen for more business confidence and management know-how, head on over to our website, nacre.com.au. I'll spell it nacre.com.au. Over there, you'll find all sorts of business resources and inspiration, blogs, forms, web events, freebies, our virtual conference information, workshops, and more. And don't be shy. Take advantage of the free power call and book yourself into my diary for the chance to have a business chat and to pick my brains. I'm Kathy Love, Allied Health Business Coach, wishing you and your business a brilliant day.